Susan Bach works exclusively with women who want to take charge of their future by letting go of their past. Susan realized the answer to her profound sense of longing and uncertainty was not to be found in relationships, profession, friends, or family. She embarked on this quest to discover where the answer could be found. Today, Susan shares her discoveries and wisdom while challenging you to begin your adventure and to discover your answers and expanding your thinking. Join the ranks of thousands of inspired women who are ready to break free of constraints, limiting beliefs, and fears. Are you ready? You can do this. Please welcome Susan Bach.
Thank you so much for that wonderful welcome. What a delight to be here. Thank you to Elisa for putting together such an outstanding caliber of presentations, of presenters, and the opportunity to learn from some of the best in the industry. Welcome to you. I'm glad you're here with us today. The workshop that we're going to delve into really is focusing on you. It's your life. This is your opportunity. Many of my clients come to me and say, when is it my turn? Well, today, right now, is your turn. Is your perspective limiting your reality? I want to honor your courage for being here today, for taking this first step toward reclaiming or redesigning your life. Congratulations. In honor of your courage, my commitment to you is to provide you with three actions that you can use today, right now, to begin shifting your perspective and positively influencing your reality. Here's what we're going to cover. Shifting from waiting things to happen and stepping into making things happen. The second thing is techniques for uncovering limiting beliefs. Ooh, that's a big one for me. And then we'll close with exercises to shift perspective and thinking that will open the door to possibilities. Three simple and yet perhaps not easy topics that we're going to cover today. Let me take this opportunity to tell you why I'm qualified to talk to you about perspective and reality. Yes, we all have a perspective, and yes, we all have our reality. Several years ago, after a very painful divorce, I spent years running, hiding, ignoring my feelings. Very similar to what Shelley just shared with us in the previous presentation. The result was gradually moving into a clinically depressed state where I could not function. Getting out of bed was a huge endeavor for me. For months, I floundered. I sought comfort and solace in all the wrong places. Again, just like Shelley, I didn't give myself permission to grieve. I ignored my grief. Have you found yourself in a mindset or a situation where you wanted things to be different, or you found yourself wishing things would change, waiting for something to happen? You're not alone in those feelings. We've all been there. The most helpful thing for me was to have a serious conversation with myself. That might sound kind of foolish, but a serious conversation with me. I had to ask myself entirely new and different and oftentimes really tough questions. Using a well-known phrase, if you want different results, you have to engage in different actions. Well, I definitely wanted different results. I wanted a new, refreshed, energized, zestful me. Yeah, I had some serious work ahead of me, and I hope that you can relate to this. Because now it's time for you to buckle up, because you're going to have quite an adventure today. You're going to experience the content of this presentation, that's typically 3 hours, consolidated down into 60 minutes. Here we go. Let's start by reviewing the definition of the key words, perspective and reality. The definition of perspective is, according to Webster's, the state of one's ideas and relative importance. The definition of reality is the totality of real things and events. Now, that definition of reality is still a little vague for me. What I like is from Philip Dick, an award-winning American novelist, who says, "Reality is that which is when you stop believing in it, it doesn't go away." Let me repeat that. Reality is that which when you stop believing in it, it doesn't go away. To answer the question, does your perspective limit our reality? Absolutely. Here's a lighthearted example of this. Several years ago, I was thinking of buying a red car. I'd never had a red car. I wanted a red car. Once I had the idea in mind that I would consider getting a red car, I saw red cars everywhere. Suddenly, my perspective was expanded to seeing red cars, because that's what I was considering for my reality, owning a red car. Now, granted, that's a lighthearted example, but it certainly explains how we can have our perception impact, either positively or negatively, our reality. Wayne Dyer tells us if we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. This would be a good time to take a look at the assessment in your handouts. You'll find it in column 3, room 3. The assessment is designed for anyone who has experienced loss, and I'll say of any kind. Perhaps you've experienced a sense of loss when you relocated or changed jobs. Perhaps it was the death of a beloved pet or not being selected. That one hurts, doesn't it? And the most devastating loss of all is the loss of a loved one. Each and every one of us experiences loss throughout our lives. Sometimes we rebound quickly. Other times it is painfully slow. If you've not had the opportunity to answer the questions in the assessment, no problem. Just stay with us. If you have answered the questions, I have a question for you. No surprise there. How did you feel when you were answering the questions? How did you feel? Did they make you feel somewhat uncomfortable? This is one of the assessments I use with my coaching clients. For some, I see sadness when they answer these questions. For others, it's an awakening to just how limiting their life has become. And yet for others, there's a sense of relief. It's almost an aha moment that, oh, that's what's going on. And then they have the beginning of hope, the beginning of living differently. Their perspective is beginning to influence their reality in a positive way. To realize the most value out of this next segment, select one question where your answer is a lot. You have three choices in most of the questions. Not a lot, somewhat, and a lot. So select one of the questions where your answer was a lot. Next, ask yourself this. Am I committed, willing, and ready to shift from a lot to somewhat? If your answer is no, you're not willing, then I suggest you select a different question until you find one that you say, yes, I can do this. I'm ready. I'm willing to begin to make the shift. Now, with that question in mind, here's the next step. Are you waiting for things to happen Or are you making things happen to solve or change or shift your perspective from a lot to somewhat? Now, this is a simple question, but it's not necessarily an easy answer. Please be kind to yourself. Give yourself the gift of time to contemplate these questions, to reflect and consider. We live in such a fast-paced world. We're just on the go constantly. We live in 10-second sound bites and 140-character communications. Is it any wonder that it's such a challenge for us to stop and go within and have a meaningful conversation with ourselves? To honestly and openly look at how we're feeling about something, or what do we really think, or what is important to us. And here's one that I love to challenge my clients with. What is your definition of success? Your definition, not someone else's, not a definition you've borrowed, or not one that's sort of implied, but very specifically, your definition of success. The reason I want you or encourage you to write that down is because if you don't know what your definition is, how will you know when you're successful? How will you know? Now, the answer to your definition of success is your truth, whatever that is. It's your life. It's your definition. It's your reality and your perspective. That's one of the blessings of free will. We can be what we are, and we can choose to change. We can be mired in the quicksand, or we can ask for a helping hand. It's your choice. For me, what I discovered in the darkness, having a choice is the ultimate freedom. A choice. The next step in making things happen is to make a list of what actions you can take to make things happen. Again, be kind to yourself. This is not a marathon, a sprint, or even a race. It is you taking one step from where you are to where you want to be. Just one step. A baby doesn't just stand up one day and start running. I doubt that you got on a bicycle and pedaled around the block on your very first attempt. Developing the muscles and the ability to engage in a physical activity is not unlike what is required when we make a mental shift. Taking small, manageable steps so we won't get overwhelmed, or to put it another way, so we don't get some sore muscles. Let's divert from this for just a moment and talk about one of my favorite topics, self muscles. That's S-E-L-F, self muscles. That would be self-esteem, self-respect, self-acceptance, self-worth. I've come up with a list of 25 self muscles. I put together an assessment. Once again, I love assessments because that's where you are. It's what your reality is. It's how you see yourself and how you perceive yourself. That's your mirror. In fact, you can go to my website, SusanBock.com, and download Do My Self Muscles Need a Workout? It's my complimentary gift to you. So, self muscles. Let's rate your self muscles on a scale of 0 to 10. 10 is Superman. 2 or 3, well, we could probably use a little bit of work. After you've done the assessment, I've given you some examples of an exercise routine to build your self muscles. Now, here's the really fun part. You don't have to buy any special clothes or have any special equipment. You can do it in the privacy of your own mind. You don't even have to tell anyone. Gradually, as you practice, as you engage in the self-muscle development, you will begin to shift your perspective. Your reality will begin to change. People will notice that there is a new bearing about you. And I'll ask you, what have you done? You can tell them or not. It's your choice. Building your self-muscles. We need to do that slowly, just like we need to engage in a new exercise routine slowly. Because if we overextend ourselves, our muscles get really sore, and then we don't want to do anything. That's why I encourage you, and you'll hear me say again and again, take one small step at a time. Build on the success of one small step. Many small steps get you so much closer to your goal. William Bridges wrote a terrific book called Transitions. Basically, it's about change. He put forth a very compelling model, if you will, a three-stage process that we go through regarding change or transition. The three stages are the end, the neutral zone, and the beginning. Each day, each week, as you begin to make things happen, you're going to be making changes in your daily routine. You might be adding a variety or adding some choices to your life. By making the decision to change, something is ending. Something is ending. This could be a choice that you've made to end a particular behavior. Maybe you're going to end something that you don't feel is appropriate for you now. Maybe you're ending a relationship. Something has to end, and that end is made by a decision. Now, unfortunately, sometimes the end is not our decision. It's made by others. We don't have a choice. It just happens. And nonetheless, that's the end. Then Bridges tells us that we move into the neutral zone. Being a Star Trek fan, I love this one, the neutral zone. This is where we're most vulnerable. The neutral zone is when we know that something has ended and we're yet not into exactly what's going to be happening next. There could be confusion or doubt, perhaps uncertainty, lack of clarity. Because the neutral zone is when we are most vulnerable, it's also that's the time when we could easily step back into old behaviors. Not necessarily because they're healthy, but because they're comfortable. Not necessarily because they're good for us, but it's because it's part of our routine. So this is a time to be very cautious, this neutral zone. And it can last for minutes, days, hours, or months, depending on you, your choices, and those around you. The final step in Bridges transitions is the beginning. This is when it really gets exciting. The beginning is when something new has come into your life. A new belief, perhaps. A new person. A new perspective. A beginning that gives you a different reality. Let me take this opportunity to invite you to email questions, as Elisa had mentioned at the orientation. We'd love to hear from you. If any of what we've said throughout my presentation, or certainly any of the presentations today, let us know. If you have an aha moment, if you can feel that the shift is beginning in your thinking, or if you see that a new door has opened, a new way of thinking of things, I'd love to hear about it. You're also welcome to send me an email, susan@susanbach.com. If you have any specific questions around what we're talking about today. Now, the next segment that we're going to go into is techniques for uncovering and eliminating limiting beliefs. Some would say that this is the most difficult because it requires you to explore what guides your thinking, your decisions, and your actions. 99% of this guidance, of this guiding force, is unconscious. We have little understanding of what a powerful influence it has on our lives. Here's the thing about our belief system. Experts tell us that our belief system was essentially in place or developed by the age of 2. Does that astonish you? It sure does me. We have a very limited vocabulary at 2. By the age of 7, our beliefs are firmly in place. So we're making a belief system secure in our life, foundational belief systems, at the age of 7. As we progress through school, our beliefs are reinforced, positively or negatively, and they become so entrenched in our thinking that we make decisions on beliefs that we haven't even consciously considered for years. Perhaps it's time to revisit, rethink, or reconsider your guiding beliefs. As I mentioned earlier, finding my way out of the darkness required me to ask different questions. Now, that's a technique that I've mastered over the years, and perhaps that's why I'm known as the Queen of Questions. But for many of us, we have an aversion to asking questions that we don't have an immediate answer to. Why is that? I can answer for me, and that's because in my early years of school, grade school, if I was called on with a question by the teacher and I didn't have the right answer, there were consequences. Sometimes physical, sometimes emotional. The ones that are the most lasting are the emotional consequences. That would be embarrassment, humiliation, feeling less than, not measuring up, fear of disappointment. Those were things that I felt when I didn't have the right answer to a question. So as a result of that, I just wanted to be the wallpaper. I didn't ever want to be called on for fear that I would not have the right answer. Now, to realize again that the most benefit you can from taking this question of uncovering and eliminating limiting beliefs, I ask you to engage the power of HOW, H-O-W. That stands for honesty, openness, and willingness. Honest with yourself. Again, you're in a safe environment. This discovery or this investigation or inquisitiveness that you have about your beliefs is happening in the security of your own space. No one's participating with you. It's just you. The O stands for openness, and that's so that you can be open to thought streams. You can shut down that critical inner voice and listen to your heart. And the W is for willingness. You have to be willing to let go if you want to be free of what's holding you back. Going back to the three stages of transition that Bridges told us about, the third stage is the beginning. That's the willingness to let go, the end of what's been controlling you, and the beginning of having the freedom of choice. So what does a limiting belief look like? take just a moment and reflect. Maybe one of your limiting beliefs comes to mind. I guess we all have them, some more powerful than others. Think for a moment about a foundational belief that you consider has impacted your life, a limiting belief. As you reflect on that question, I'll share with you one of my limiting beliefs that I did not uncover until I was in my 40s. It turns out this was the very foundation on which all of my other beliefs were held. This was a painful awareness to come to. What was my limiting belief? It was fear. Fear was my guiding principle. It influenced every decision I made, my behavior, and my actions. Once I had the realization and the awareness that fear was a limiting belief as well as one of my foundational beliefs, I was able to look back on my life and admit to the fact that fear had been my constant companion. As far back as I can remember, fear was my constant companion. I was fearful of people, of places, people not knowing what to do, not being bright enough, fear of what others would think of me. Fear, fear, fear. That was my guiding foundational belief. Now, as a result of that, unconsciously, I had labeled myself a coward because I was fearful. I didn't believe that someone who had courage or was courageous would have fear. As I was going through this pivotal discovery that really influenced and had a significant impact on my career at that point, it was pointed out to me that there probably is not a soldier on the battlefield that does not have some component or some element of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the acknowledgement of fear and taking action anyway. Wow. That was a mind blower. Acknowledging the fear, saying it's okay to be fearful, to acknowledge it, to see it, to own it. However, that doesn't mean it has to control me. I can take action anyway. My fear was buried under layers and layers of subterfuge. It had the guises of so many other limiting beliefs. It was such a part of me. I had developed numerous coping mechanisms. That's one of the wonderful aspects of being a human being, is we cope incredibly well with things. Because I did not want you to know I was fearful, goodness, no. I didn't want you to know who I really was, because then you'd know I was fearful. Also, you may not like me. So I was you. I would mimic you, whoever I was with. I would mimic you so that you would like me, so that you wouldn't see my fear, so that I could be the wallpaper. Can you relate to this feeling? Have you come up with a limiting belief that's a foundation that's influenced your life? Well, as I continued to have these conversations with myself, these meaningful conversations, and I realized that I had no idea who I was, I decided it was time to figure it out, to get acquainted with who I was, who I could be, and therein lies the possibilities. Who I could be. Each one of us has the gift of potential. Potential. Are you living in your potential? Are you living in possibilities? Is your perspective including your potential? We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me come full circle on the fear. Once I had the realization that it had been my constant companion, that I did not want it to continue to control my life, did it go away? Did the fear just evaporate? Yes and no. The fear became much less powerful. It was significantly diminished. It moved, if you will, from the driver's seat to the back seat. So has it gone away? No, it has not. However, it no longer controls my life. Now, on occasion, it gets kind of cranky. It starts making some noises and it wants my attention. And that's okay, because I know what it is. And I can acknowledge it and be courageous by taking action anyway. Now, I said that because I'd mimicked others for so long, I had no idea who I was. That made me feel very sad. Here I was in my 40s and I had no idea who I really was. It was distressing to think that my life was half over and I didn't know who I was. And then I got fearful, kind of thinking, what if I discover I'm not very much? What if I don't like who I am? Then I came back to the choices. If I had the courage to take a look and I decided I didn't like what I saw, I could change. Because I am the only one who can change me. I am the only one. It's my choice. I can choose to remain where I am, to stay the same, or I can choose to become more. And at that moment, I made the decision to become more, to step into my potential, and so that I want to live my life as it could be, not as someone else thinks it should be, but as it could be. One of my favorite quotes is from Henry Ford. He says, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're absolutely right. My shift in my perspective was to believe I couldn't. And then I came to believe that I could. This is sort of a chicken and egg thing. What comes first, the belief or the attitude? Attitude, to me, is everything. It is everything. When we shift our perspective, when we shift our attitude, when we incorporate new beliefs, we see the world differently. Our reality changes. Now, what interferes with shifting of our beliefs? Remember that neutral zone I mentioned earlier? When we're in the neutral zone, we have all sorts of resistance that might kick in, that might come into play, that might stand up and say, okay, it's my turn. What is resistance? Well, it wears many cloaks. It could be procrastination, hesitation, doubt, uncertainty. Sometimes it comes out as anger, frustration, impatience. And as you already know from me, it was fear. Now, I would cover up the fear by being boisterous, perhaps, or very strong in what I was doing. But it was all a guise. It was one of the many cloaks of resistance. Here's the thing about resistance. It is invisible. It is not invincible unless we choose to let it be invincible. If we allow resistance to govern our lives, to make our decisions, to keep us where we are, then we're not living in choice. We're living in a very limited belief system, very narrow reality that just has no room for possibility, for opportunity, for potential. Resistance. Another way that it shows up for me is what I call my head committee. That's the 24/7 dialogue that's taking place between my two ears, nonstop. It's chattering away whether I am listening or not. And what is it chattering about? Well, I can tell you before I went through this transformation, what it was chattering about was not positive. It was saying, no, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You don't deserve that. No, you can't have that because you haven't worked hard enough. You haven't suffered enough. Or it's not your turn. Non-stop reinforcing my limiting beliefs, whether I was listening or not, 24/7. Once again, that was pretty distressing because I thought I would not dream of talking to my best friend that way. Why is it okay for me to talk to myself that way? As an adult, I wouldn't tolerate anyone talking to me the way I talk to myself. Why was it okay for me to talk that way to me? I was not being my best friend. My 24/7 voice, my head committee, was a compilation of critical voices, judgments, less than statements that probably had occurred over a lifetime. Unfortunately, I didn't ever forget those. Those are the ones I clung to because those are the ones that hurt. Now, here's the thing about memories. The most powerful memories you have are the ones that have the most emotion around them. Our memories are cemented around emotion. That's where the power is. The power is not in the intellect. It's not in the ability to recall the memory. The power is the emotion, the feeling that comes with the memory. So my head committee was just continually reinforcing my less than thinking, my less than mentality. I'll never measure up. I'll never be able to fill in the blank. Action time, choice time. So what did I do? Well, I fired the head committee. Thought, I don't want to listen to those people anymore. I don't want them to control my life. I don't want them in charge of me. I don't want to give them the power, quite frankly. They had their turn. Now it was my turn. So I fired each voice that I could identify. Said, thank you very much. Your services are no longer required. Here's the door. And I invited in 4 people to be on my head committee. 4 people that were my strongest supporters, that believed in me no matter what, that were my cheerleaders. They were people I respected, that inspired me, that I trusted. Only 4. Because I didn't want it to get too noisy up there. 4 positive, reinforcing, supportive voices to replace a lifetime of negative thinking. What a gift was that? And you know what? I gave that gift to myself. And you can give that very same gift to you. You can fire that head committee that is keeping you stuck. You can let go of the resistance and say, you know, I'm going to break free of it this time. You've had your fun. Now it's my turn. You might think it sounds humorous, but literally those are the kinds of conversations that I have with myself now. Those are the conversations that change my perception, that change my perspective, and ultimately change my reality. Honest, open, and willing conversations that allow me to look at things differently, that give me permission to consider options, choices. Now, if you're intrigued with this concept of asking yourself different questions, you can benefit from my years of experience. You could uncover your limiting beliefs and shift your perspective. And I've made this very easy for you. I've created the questions. All you need to do is go to my website, susanbach.com, and you can sign up for, get ready for this, 25 questions that can change your life. 25 questions that can change your life. That's a PDF, immediate download. The second thing is what I mentioned earlier, the self muscles assessment, exercises that take less than 5 minutes a day. And then the third thing is an MP3, and that's in your flyer, I believe, that came out in the workbook. Are you limping or leaping towards success? Remember, we talked about earlier of your definition of success. That's what limping or leaping towards success is about. Lastly, I have 52 weeks of audio questions. You get one question a week in your email, less than 5 minutes. I present the question, elaborate on it a bit, and then it's up to you. Those four things are my gifts to you. You can sign up for all of them or one of them. Whatever you choose. Because remember, it's all about choices. We make choices every single day. Are you truly present and in the moment when you make choices? Are you projecting into the future? Well, what if, what if, what if? Or are you fully present and cognizant of the thinking that is going on supporting where you are? Is your thinking supporting where you want to be? We're going to spend the remainder of our time together elaborating and really delving into some exercises to shift your perspective. We've touched on a few in the last 45 minutes. Now we're going to go into just a bit more. Aldous Huxley has a great quote that I love. He says, there are things known, there are things unknown, and in between are the doors of perception. The doors of perception. I love that. So now we're going to bring together the elements of the first or the two previous segments. Making things happen. The changes that we talked about. Releasing and limit, acknowledging and releasing limiting beliefs. Replacing those with empowering beliefs. Your perception of any problem depends on the position from where you perceive it. That sounds pretty profound, doesn't it? Let me repeat that. Your perception of any problem depends on the position from where you perceive it. For example, when I'm presenting to an audience, I'm standing at the front of the room looking out in the audience. I have a perception. My perspective is looking out over the audience, seeing the back of the room. The audience is looking at me. They have an entirely different perspective from what I have. And yet they're both our realities. Perspective and reality. Both perspectives are right. So is the reality. Another example of this is when several people will, say perhaps observe an accident. There might be three or four different versions of what happened. People see things differently. That doesn't make it right or wrong, good or bad, it's just different. Let's delve into this one specific example. If your perception inhibits or expands your ability to live in possibilities, if it inhibits or expands your ability, that is your reality. It's your choice. So let's do this exercise together. Let's say this is a problem-solving technique. Let's say that you want to change your perspective to broaden your reality or to see opportunities and to really expand your enjoyment of life. That's the problem. You want to change your perspective. Now remember, this is a problem-solving technique. So the problem is, I want to change my perspective. Here are five steps you can take to change your perspective, to solve the problem. Now, the key to solving a problem is that the solution has to work for you. Not for somebody else, but for you. And it doesn't overwhelm you or put you into stress. It's something that you can sustain. It's also in alignment with your beliefs and values. In alignment with your beliefs and values. So the first step is to start to believe you can. Start to believe you can. We talked about taking baby steps. But just start the belief that, yes, I can. Replace the no, you can't with the yes, I can voice. Invite in your cheerleading squad. Invite those believers that are going to support you and encourage you and inspire you to continue to be more than you are. Think positively. Small steps. This is not going to happen overnight. We need to be realistic here. Talk about reality. Let's be realistic. Many times when we fail at something, it's because we have set our sights too high. It's an unrealistic goal or expectation. This is a time to be very realistic. Small steps, 100 small steps will get you there. One giant step when you fall down will not get you there. That takes us to the next part, is the courage. You have to have the courage to take that small step. You have to let go of the safety that you're in, however uncomfortable it might be, and take that first step. Believe you can. Think positively. Number two is to shift your focus. Now, we've all heard don't focus on the problems, focus on the possibilities or on the opportunities. There is an element of truth in that. It's kind of hard, though, not to focus on your problems. What I invite you to do is to ask yourself a different question. If you're stuck in a problem, ask different questions. How else could I look at this? What would be another perspective? What would somebody else say? Someone that you respect or admire. Ask for help. If you're in the quicksand, stretch out your hand and ask for help, or you'll stay stuck. So shift your focus. Another way that you might look at this is for the entrepreneurial spirit that we have in the room. Entrepreneurs are great. What is an entrepreneur? It's someone who sees an opportunity, who works out the best way of doing something that has not been done before. Now it works for them. They're innovative and they're change agents. They make the change. Invite your entrepreneurial spirit to come into play. Change the norm of what you have been and expand into what you could be. Number three is to think what it is that you really want to shift and write it down. Write this statement, wouldn't it be nice if? And then commit to that and engage your subconscious, that 24/7 new head committee that's now working for you and with you and in support of you. Invite them to work on this with you. Wouldn't it be nice if? Number four is to think about what you can accomplish. The decisions you make today determine your tomorrow. What can you accomplish today? Again, small steps. What can you do today that will positively influence your tomorrow? And number five is just to take a different view of the situation. If you're in the audience looking forward, change places with the speaker. Get in the front of the room. Have a different perspective. Take a different view of the room. All right, before we wrap this up, I want to take some questions that have been submitted prior to the conference beginning. The first question is, people around me love me dearly. I can walk into a room and make everyone in it smile and be happy, but I cannot do those things for myself. What's wrong with this picture? Oof, that one hurts even to read. How sad. My response to this is, you know what happiness is, because you can make other people experience it. I can walk into a room and make everyone in it smile and be happy. Here's the question. You knew my answer was going to be a question. What will make you happy? What is happiness to you? What limiting beliefs do you have that are supporting you being unhappy? And what new beliefs can you engage that will make you happy? Take a look at those limiting beliefs. The next question is, I have been brainwashed from childhood to think that I am unworthy and unlovable. Again, that just breaks my heart. So all my life I have to sort of prove this theory wrong. However, every time I fail at something, that thought is further immersed in my consciousness. As a result, I give up easily or convince myself that it will fail. How do I get past this train of thinking? Wow, how do I get past this train of thinking? We need to let go of the train, very simply. Now again, simple, not easy. Earlier we talked about the power of the emotion. It isn't so much the words that were said in the past that has part of your background. It's the emotion around them. So I would invite you to take a look at what was said and make a decision consciously of whether you want to continue to believe in that. You want it to continue to rule your life, or if you're ready to make a choice and take the power back. Reclaim your life. Now, I want to applaud you because you say every time, if I fail at something, the thought further submerges. What that says to me is that you're continuing to try. You're putting yourself out there. You're endeavoring to do more than what you have in the past, and that's admirable. That's wonderful that you have the courage to do that. It isn't about failing or succeeding. It's about the effort. It's about the trying, the growing, the one step at a time. And I would invite you to write a new script around each effort, whether you fail or not. And the new script is that you're not taking action to prove someone else wrong. You're engaging in activities to prove yourself right. And that rightness is to be the person you are, 100%. Embrace it completely. Be authentic with that. We have time for one more question. How do I begin to feel deserving and everything around me tells me I'm not? How do I begin to feel deserving when everything around me tells me I'm not? Definitely time for a perspective shift there. Definitely time for a new head committee. These challenges, these questions, are so impactful and important to your lives. You have the choice, the opportunity today to start to live differently. I would invite this person who's written the last question, feel deserving, to give yourself permission to be deserving. Ask yourself, why aren't you deserving? Because you are. You can choose that path. You have the opportunity today to make decisions and to take actions that will influence your tomorrow. Now, to wrap this up, I would like to extend one more invitation to you, and that's to visit my website, again, susanbach.com, Power Products, and take a look at Conversations That Count. This is an MP3 that I put together and a guidebook that really delves into these conversations that count, this important conversation with ourselves, other ways that we can uncover limiting beliefs. This is a special offer that I've put together, and I want everyone to be able to take advantage of it, so it's priced very reasonably at $49. You'll learn to replace this critical inner voice with one that is supportive, that is your cheerleader. To let go of the no, I can't, and replace it with yes, absolutely, I can. Living in possibilities shows us how to eliminate negativity, how to empower the soul, and realize that you may even enjoy this new perspective. Imagine that. Enjoy it. Savor the moment. Possibilities can open up a new way of looking and responding to our life, to our business, friends, family, spiritually. You are an incredible gift to this world. You are one of a kind. There is not another person alive who has had your experiences, your education, your life. Not another person. You have incredible gifts that are just waiting for you to tap into. Please share your gifts with the world. We want you and we need you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you success, joy, and prosperity.